Morning, Bound and Grace Church. Today is June 14th, 2020. And it's a joy to be able to bring the Word of God to you once again. And before we open up God's Word together, why don't we pray and worship God and ask for His help. So let's pray together. Father, we bow before You and we praise Your holy name, Lord. And we think of who You are and certainly some of the first attributes that come to our mind is Your love and mercy and grace. And so, Father, we praise You for what a gracious God You are, that You would reveal Yourself to us, that You would send Your Son to die for us, that You would set Your love on us, that You would call us to Yourself, that You would give us the new birth, that You would forgive all our sins, that You would credit us with the righteousness of Christ and adopt us into Your family and just enter into this everlasting covenant with us, Father. What an amazing privilege we have to be called children of God. So we thank You and praise You. And we pray that our lives would be for Your glory. Father, You deserve all glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving. And yet, even as we agree with that, we confess that too often, even this past week, we've not lived for Your glory. We've been focused on ourselves and not on You and Your kingdom and Your name and or even the good of others. Oh, Father, we confess that we are often selfish and ungrateful. And so we confess those sins to You. We turn from them, Lord. We ask that You will once again cleanse us by the finished work of Christ. And please grow us, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit, and may Your Spirit and the life of Christ produce in us a heart to serve, a heart to be thankful. Help us learn contentment, Lord, like the Apostle Paul said he had learned. And again, we are so overjoyed to be Your children, to be Your people, that we have You as our God and our Father. And we want to bring glory to You. We want to know You. And so we ask for Your grace and strength to pursue You like we should. Please help us to discipline our bodies and our energies to seek You, seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And even now, Lord, as we open up Your word, we desire to seek You. We desire to meet with You, to catch a glimpse of Your glory. So I pray that as we study this passage, Your Spirit would give us understanding and give us the eyes of faith to see who we are in Christ and to even catch a glimpse of the glorious inheritance and the glorious future that awaits us. So Father, please help us now work through Your word. We believe that these are Your very words, and we believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask that He would come and help me now to proclaim this clearly and boldly, and that Your Spirit would give us all ears to hear what You have to say to us today. And we pray that through the preaching of Your word, You would be pleased to save many who don't know You, to build Your kingdom, to sanctify us in the truth of Your word. I pray that You would give hope and comfort to those who hear now. And may You be glorified through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've spent the last couple of weeks in Hebrews chapter 10 and then Hebrews 11 studying the topic of faith. As believers, God calls us to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself up for us. Now, this is always true of the Christian, that we are to walk by faith, but especially in this COVID-19 season, in the uncertainty and the challenge that it has brought, it seems to me it's even more essential that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so last week from verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews 11, we saw what faith is and what faith does. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. It legally guarantees our future possession of what God has promised. We also saw that faith is the proof of things not seen, that it gives us certainty that what God promises will in fact take place. And from the text, we also noted that faith results in our justification and that faith is lived out in obedience to God. And then where the author goes after that initial description of faith, what it is and what it does, then from verse 4 and following, the author gives several examples of Old Testament saints who lived by faith, faith in God and in His holy word. And for the sermon today, I want us to begin in verse 8, looking at the faith of Abraham. So turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. And our text is going to be verses 8 through 10, and then also verses 13 through 16. So let's hear the word of God together now. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And now skipping down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Thanks be to God for His word. The title of the sermon today is Living as a Stranger on the Earth. Verse 13 in our text says that Abraham and the other patriarchs acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They acknowledged it. In other words, they confessed it. They admitted and accepted that they were strangers in this world. And it's not them only. The New Testament teaches that all Christians are strangers and exiles in this world. But that does beg the question, what does that mean or what does that entail? What does that look like in our lives? And so today from our text, I want to make 3 points about living as a stranger on the earth. These points, I trust, will help us understand our relationship to the world and what it looks like to walk by faith. All right, so here's the first one. Number one, called out of this world to follow Christ by faith. A stranger in this earth is called out of the world to follow Christ by faith. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Of course, this is referring to the call of Abraham, or actually he was known as Abram at the time. And that's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 12. So let me just read verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God called Abram to leave his country, to leave his people, to leave his family, and to go to an unknown land where God promised to do amazing things for him and through him. And by God's grace, Abraham obeyed God's call. He went out by faith, not knowing where he was going, but simply trusting in the promises of God. And we might be tempted, when we think about that, we might be tempted to lift Abraham up as some kind of hero, but our praise and awe should be directed toward God. The call of Abraham is an amazing picture of God's sovereign grace. Because later in Joshua chapter 24, we learn that there was nothing special about Abraham. Matter of fact, he came from a family of idolaters. So Abraham was not seeking the one true God. He and his family were practicing idolatry. There was nothing about Abraham that made him worthy of God's call. Abraham was lost. He was separated from God, enslaved to sin, and enslaved to idolatry. But God, in his amazing grace, took the initiative. God reached down into the sin and darkness of Abraham's life and called Abraham to himself. Though there was nothing in Abraham that deserved it, God set his affection on Abraham and entered into this covenant relationship with him. And so God called Abraham out of his life of idolatry and called him to worship God and follow God. And so God called Abraham to leave everything that he had relied on previously for support and for security, and to follow God and to trust in God's word and God's promises. And we'll see that God's call on Abraham meant that Abraham lived the rest of his life as a stranger on this earth. Now, we should probably define the terms there, right? A stranger, or sometimes the Bible will say an exile or an alien. Those are all people that who are living in a country that is not their own, right? It's like they're just a visitor. They're just passing through. They don't really belong to the country where they're dwelling because they're citizenship is somewhere else. They're citizens of a different country. And the Bible says that all Christians are strangers and exiles in this world. We too, like Abraham, have been called by God out of this world to follow him by faith. Ephesians 2 talks about who we are before God calls us, before God saves us, that by nature we're dead in our sins. We're enslaved to the passions of our flesh, and we're in bondage to the deceitful ways of this fallen world. But God has graciously called us. He's reached down by his sovereign grace and rescued us. He's delivered us out of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13 says. God has called us out of darkness, the darkness of this fallen world, and into the marvelous light of his eternal kingdom, 1 Peter 2:9. So we've been called out of this world to be a people for God's own possession. Listen to how Jesus explained this to his disciples in John 15, beginning in verse 18. He says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Now catch this. "If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you." So you see, he was explaining to his disciples, you guys no longer belong to this fallen world. Rather, now you're part of my kingdom. And we could say we belong to Christ. We belong to God. 1 Peter 1:17 exhorts us to live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. "For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So you see, we've been redeemed. God has purchased us out of this world by the precious blood of Christ. And now we are in his eternal kingdom. Now we are citizens of heaven, Philippians 3:20 says. So our primary citizenship is not in America or whatever country we reside in. Rather, it's in heaven. It's in God's eternal kingdom. And so that means this world is no longer our home. We are just pilgrims passing through. We are strangers and exiles now. And now we are called to follow God, to follow Christ by faith, to daily take up our cross and follow Jesus, to follow Christ, trusting in the promises of God. We don't know the exact path that God is going to lead us on. We don't know what kind of trials he's going to call us to walk through. We don't know how long our journey is going to be, but by God's grace, we are to press on in faith, a faith that, like Abraham, is fueled by the promises of God. We have the promises of the gospel. We know that God loves us and that he has forgiven us and that God is with us and that he promises us a wonderful inheritance at the end. So we know what the end looks like. We just don't know all the details of how we're going to get there. But we're called to walk by faith. Faith in the word of God, faith in the promises of God. And so we need to remember that we are strangers and exiles here. Now, living as a stranger in this earth doesn't mean that we are to isolate ourselves from the world. Because I read for you from John 15 earlier. Well, now in John 17, when Jesus is praying for his disciples, listen how what he says. John 17, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So you see, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be sanctified or set apart by God for his use in this world. So there should be something different about us. We are called to be separate and distinct from this world, but yet still engaged in this world. And by remaining in Christ and remaining in his word, we can be increasingly sanctified. We can be set apart from this sinful world and be an instrument that God can use for his glory. Living like a stranger in this world doesn't mean that you then hide yourself in your home or isolate and try to avoid any interaction with the world. 1 Peter 2:11, here the Apostle Peter says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So you see, we are called to be out of this world. We're no longer of this world. In other words, he says we're to abstain from the pursuits and the pleasures that this world offers, right? Because this fallen world is catering to our flesh. It's catering to our sinful desires. And we're to abstain from that, but we are to live out our faith in this world among the unbelievers. We're to be focused on seeking God and his kingdom. We're to be living good lives, it says, such good lives that it brings glory to God, because as we abide in Christ, it's his life that is being lived through us. And so we pray that people would see just a glimpse of Jesus in us, right? They may not know Jesus, they may not have read their Bibles, but when they look at us, they could see something of the love and the grace and the compassion and the holiness even of Jesus, and therefore bring glory to God. So this is just a sampling of what it looks like, what the Bible teaches of how we are to live as strangers in this earth. There should be something different in us because now we have a different worldview. We operate from a completely different set of values and priorities from this fallen world system. And that leads me then to the second point about being a stranger. It's this, holding loosely to the temporary things of this world. Holding loosely to the temporary things of this world. And we're definitely going to see that in the life of Abraham and the other patriarchs. Abraham's faith was manifested not only in obeying God's call to go to a new land, but also in how he lived while he was in that land. Look with me back at verse 9 of Hebrews 11. By faith, he, Abraham, went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So you see, Abraham's faith enabled him to live like a stranger in a foreign land. You see, he went to live in the land that had been promised to him and his descendants as an inheritance. But notice, as he was there, he lived in tents his whole life because the land never actually belonged to Abraham. He had been given the promise of it, but he never actually had possession of it. And remember, that's what it looks like when you live by faith. You have the promise, you have the title deed, but you don't have full possession of it yet. Abraham was living that way. He was living, as we often say, between the already and the not yet. Acts 7:5 explains this more. It says that Abraham didn't even have a foot length of the promised land. He didn't own any of it. And when you study the life of Abraham, you'll see that when his dear wife Sarah died, he had to buy like a tomb for her. He had to buy a place where he could, a parcel of land where he could bury his wife because he didn't own any land. He was still dwelling as a stranger, as a foreigner, dwelling in tents. And we see here from Hebrews 11, it wasn't just Abraham, but his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, they also lived in tents, and God had passed on the covenant promises to them as well. but they never had a permanent residence in the land that had been promised to them. They were always living with the status of aliens and strangers. They were nomads, that's right? That's what you think of when you think of living in a tent, right? You're always moving around. You're never putting down roots, no permanent residence. They lived as foreigners by faith. And how were they able to do that? This was what the land that had been promised to them, but how were they able to just wait on God and his timing? Well, look at verse 10 gives the reason. It says, for, this is how Abraham was able to do this, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You see, Abraham was living with an eternal perspective. He was living with his eyes fixed on God and what God had in store for him. Abraham was looking forward to that city with foundations that God had designed and built. You know, I'm sure guys all around him, he would see the cities and the homes that people had built and the structures and palaces that they had amassed for themselves. But Abraham knew that man-made cities are temporary. Those come and go. He was interested in something permanent, an everlasting city, a city that's designed and built by God. He was looking forward to heaven. He was looking forward to the eternal kingdom. Abraham knew that in the land of Canaan, yes, this promised land, that wasn't his complete inheritance. God had promised something greater for him, that all of God's people would reign with God over the new heavens and the new earth. And so that's what he had his eyes set on. He was looking forward to that eternal city, that heavenly city, a city of God himself. So thinking about that eternal inheritance that God had in store for him, that reminded Abraham that the things of this world are temporary. And that's what the New Testament teaches us New Covenant believers as well. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 commands us as believers, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now catch this. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So you see, we're to be in the world, but not of the world, right? And it's so easy for the things of this world to distract us, right? The world does a great job of marketing. And everything that the world offers is something that we can see and touch and feel, right? But remember, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We're commanded to not love the things of this world because the world and its desires are passing away. And if we can remember that this world is temporary, it's passing away, but God's kingdom is eternal, then that can help us to focus on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it reminds us that we're strangers in this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. We should be living for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom to which we belong. Again, that's what it looks like to walk by faith, not by sight. Though we cannot see it, God's kingdom is real and it is eternal. And so we should be seeking him and his kingdom. And we can do that when we keep our eyes fixed on Christ and as we remember his promises to us. And that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. We remember what's promised to us. We remember the inheritance that awaits us, knowing that I have an eternal inheritance that will never fade, that cannot be stolen or lose value, one that truly satisfies the deepest longings of my soul. That keeps me from chasing after and holding on to the things of this world, because those things are passing away. This world and all its stuff is going to burn one day. And besides, the things of this world don't satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. Only God can do that. And we have God. He has reconciled us to himself. We have God. We have the down payment of the Holy Spirit, and we have the promise of eternal life in the presence of God. That's our inheritance. And that leads me to the third and final point about living as a stranger on this earth. It's loving God and longing to be with him forever. Loving God and longing to be with him forever. Again, verse 10 of Hebrews 11. For he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was longing for God's city, right? Not not a temporary city, but an eternal city, a city with foundations, the city where God dwells. Though he couldn't see God, Abraham had experienced enough fellowship with God that he longed to be with God forever. And so he didn't give his heart to lesser things. He didn't place his hope in things that are passing away. No, Abraham longed to be with his God, with his eternal God. And so Abraham kept living by faith as a stranger in this world. And he lived by faith fueled by the promises of God for his entire life. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Wow, what an amazing testimony to their faith, to their persevering faith. They lived by faith. They confessed and acknowledged that they were strangers and lived that way all the way to the end. And it said, if they had been thinking of the world from which they had come out, if they had been thinking about the world that they had been called out of, they would have gone back to it, right? They would have just settled into this world. They would have just said, you know what? I think I'm going to put all my hope and security in what this world offers, right? I'm going to go back to the city of destruction. I'm going to put my faith and find my pleasure in things that I can touch and feel and taste. But no, they didn't do that. Instead, they held fast their confidence firm to the end by faith. They kept believing the promises of God. By God's grace, through faith, they clung to those promises. They didn't throw away their confidence like it says at the end of chapter 10, right? They endured. They did not shrink back. And so God was not ashamed to be called their God. Did you notice that in verse 16? God was not ashamed to be called their God. I love that. Think about how many times in the Bible God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, that was one of the central blessings of God's covenant with Abraham, that I will be your God and you will be my people. God saying, you are mine. I am for you. I'm committed to you. You belong to me. I will be with you. You'll have my presence now, and one day you'll be in my presence forever. And the amazing thing about the covenant of Abraham, right, is by the finished work of Abraham's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, all who believe in Jesus, all who turn from their sins and embrace him by faith as Lord and Savior, they are all now receive the blessings of the God's covenant with Abraham, right? Through faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross, sinners like you and me are reconciled to God, so we too can know that God Almighty, the creator and sustainer of this universe, is our God. He is our heavenly Father, and we are his beloved children. And so as believers now, we are simply pilgrims who follow Jesus by faith. And like Abraham, we often don't know where we are going. We don't know where God specifically is leading us. But we do know that because of Jesus, we belong to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's where we're heading. That's where our final destination is. And we have desires that we know this world can't satisfy. Our longings and desires cannot be fulfilled in this world. Even things that are blessings from God, like marriage or family, we know that ultimately can't satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. We know that job and money and pleasure doesn't satisfy. God has hardwired us. He's created us in such a way that we have desires, we have longings of our soul that can only be satisfied by God and God alone. And so that's what he promises to all who follow Christ, all who believe in Jesus and follow him as their Lord and Savior. Is that I will be your God. You will get to be with me forever. We can't see God, but we have experienced him. By God's grace, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've enjoyed times of sweet communion with God. We've enjoyed times of worship with God. We've felt his peace. We've experienced his presence. And now our hearts long for more, don't they? We want more than just a taste. We want more than just seeing him as through a glass dimly. We want to enjoy his presence, his full presence, nonstop for all eternity. And that's what is promised to us. That's the inheritance that awaits us. Someday we will have that. One day our Lord Jesus Christ will return and will be raised, and this world will be remade. And as Revelation 21:3 says, the dwelling place of God will be with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And then later in that chapter, Revelation 21:22 says, there's no temple in this city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. That's where we're headed, loved ones. That's where you're headed, believer. The city whose builder and designer is God. Someday, loved ones, our faith will become sight. And until that day, may we live by faith as strangers on this earth. May we, as the text says, desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, looking forward to that city whose foundation with foundations whose designer and builder is God, because only God can satisfy. May God help us to live by faith even this week. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your grace. Again, as we think of how you reached down into Abraham's life, Lord, we know that you have done that for each one of us. Oh, we were lost and in darkness. We were deceived by the sinful ways of this world. And we think of what our life would have been like had you not saved us, how we would have just been bouncing around from one pleasure to another, trying to satisfy and never finding the satisfaction that our soul needs. And we were on the path of destruction. But you graciously reached down and rescued us from that. And just like Abraham, we know there was nothing in us that deserved your favor, that deserved your attention, that deserved to be brought into covenant with you, but you did it purely by your grace. And so we praise you for your glorious grace, and we praise you for the work of Christ, that he rescues us from the domain of darkness. Thank you for that we are now in your kingdom. We're in your eternal kingdom. The kingdoms of this world, the countries of this fallen world, they come and go. But we are in an everlasting kingdom. And we pray that your kingdom would come, Lord, that it would continue to grow through us and around us. And Lord, thank you for these precious promises. Thank you that we know you've told us what awaits us in the end. You've given us the promises of our eternal inheritance. And you've said that it's kept in heaven for us, that it's being guarded. We're being guarded by faith. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and I pray for myself. I pray that you'll help us to walk by faith. Oh, Father, forgive us for holding too tightly to the things of this world. May you help us to hold loosely to those things, to enjoy the blessings you give us, but to keep our eyes fixed on our inheritance, our eternal inheritance. May you strengthen the faith of all of us. May you draw us into your word and into sweet communion with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, loved ones, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.